Tonight in New Orleans, groups called Mardi Gras Indians will put on elaborate costumes of beads and feathers to dance and sing for St. Joseph's Night. It's an African-American tradition. It goes back more than a century to honor collaboration between Native Americans and slaves. From our member station WWNO, Eve Troe reports.
On a sunny Sunday, barbecue stands and ice-filled coolers line a closed-off street. New Orleans' central city is not a tourist zone, but people pack in, many with cameras and long lenses. A mass of color begins to move. Mardi Gras Indians, maybe 100 or more from all around the city, wear sky-to-pavement costumes, heavy, wide headdresses several feet tall, down to embroidered satin boots. It's all embellished with beads, sequins, and countless plumes of mirabou feathers. Each suit is a masterpiece in neon green, pink, or orange.
I'm Big Chief Tugger Cloud. I'm 17 years old. And every evening after school, we sew our suits. Every year with needle and thread.
This lanky, cool teenager leads the Red Flame Hunters, a Mardi Gras Indian and youth outreach group started by Ed Buckner.
See, I'm trying to reinvent the community and get the community involved. See, we talk about stopping violence. These 15 or 20 young black men are going to improve their lives a little bit and get some direction and know which way to go.
The group has a Facebook page and a GoFundMe page to raise money. They put up videos on YouTube and perform for private events. That's a big shift from the way Mardi Gras Indian culture started. The black Indians were mysterious, rarely announcing where or when they'd take to the streets. Many outsiders considered them dangerous. Now, even the city's official tourism campaign celebrates them.
Discover your New Orleans.
A recent ad shows a Mardi Gras Indian dancing at sunset with a young child. This full embrace of the culture is pretty new. 10 years ago on St. Joseph's Night, police clashed with Mardi Gras Indians.
They didn't know anything about the culture. If they did, they did not care.
Bertrand Butler is co-founder of the Mardi Gras Indian Council, a nonprofit that brings together different tribes. He and others organized a special city council session. It was there in 2005 that Big Chief Allison Tootie Montana of the Yellow Pocahontas stood to say his piece.
Police cars coming all kind of ways. I said, well, what is that? And y'all get out the street, get on the sidewalk. For what? We wasn't doing nothing, so I hope this straightened out. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Chief, take your time.
Montana collapsed. The chant Indian Red went up in council chambers as paramedics carried him out.
The Indians got behind the ambulance and was singing Indian Red all the way to Charity Hospital, and they said he was deceased.
Montana's death, followed by the floods of Hurricane Katrina shortly after, marked a turning point. The city and the Indians began to work together more. NOPD Deputy Chief Bob Barty even included them in police academy training.
It was important for me to make sure that on my end, that my police officers understood the people, an understanding of cultural sensitivity.
It's perhaps because Mardi Gras Indians have had to organize and fight for the right to express their culture that they've not only come back, but thrived. Tootie Montana's son, Big Chief Daryl Montana, carries on his father's tradition. He says he'll teach anyone who's interested in his culture.
If something was to happen to me today or tomorrow, and I don't share what I know, then it's going to wind up dying. So I say, well, I'm going to teach, and I will show them everything I know. Something that took me almost 50 years to learn to get to where I'm at, I'd like to give it to them now.
As Mardi Gras Indians like him prepare for this St. Joseph's Night, it seems their culture belongs more to New Orleans, more to the world, really. A once secretive tradition now opened up to all. For NPR News, I'm Eve Troe in New Orleans.